You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. Special guest, my partner, my colleague, Letitia Birbaum. Letitia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bart, for having me on the show.
So, Paul, I have to tell you, I know we've been talking off camera before we got started
Yes, right.
And I'm not so sure I like where we're going with
it. We've opened up Pandora's box here.
Yeah. So we all know Letitia, when she's not on mic, is known to be a little bit on the quiet side, maybe a little bit introverted.
That's what you keep telling me. But since she's been in here, I've seen another side of her.
Because there's always a microphone in front of her. And what you've offered is, as we will be gone at a conference next week, and we've been discussing how are we going to do the show? Are we going to run a repeat?
Yeah,
are we going to record?
Right.
Paul's brilliant idea was, Letitia, take this microphone on conference and interview people.
Yes, why not?
And you should have seen her eyes get so big.
She's going to get to live her lifelong dream to walk up to the stage door and say, I'm with the band. And get right on stage.
Okay, we're with press, right?
That's right. No, it is amazing, the power of this medium. I mean, you've built a show and built a following, and you've gotten picked up on iHearts and other things. That immediately turns you into media. And what you find at most events out there is there isn't much media anymore covering these things, partly because they've shrunk and partly because there's so many of these events out there. So when you show up, they're like thrilled that somebody's there to capture what's happening there and to get some commentary. And you give them a copy, so they push it out. You take a copy and you use it for our station, your show, and each guest gets a copy. Oh my goodness, talk to as many as you want. Everybody's thrilled.
Well, how many people have been to a conference and you're sitting in the audience and you're like, I really wish I had the opportunity to ask this person this question.
Yes, exactly.
Or if I had the opportunity to figure out how they got from point A to point B, what strategies did they take?
Right.
And you really just gave me a tool to be able to go up and ask all those fun questions for me, for our audience, for our clients, for our friends. And
think about it. That's why people tune into the show. That's why they work with you, because they're busy people. They're important people. They don't have the time to go. They don't have the connections. They don't have the time. They don't have the talent, the knowledge to go find these other thought leaders that you're in contact with.
Right.
So why pay to go to an expensive conference, sit there, and then come back and tell them, show them. Capture it.
So we can be live in the actual conference. Bart over here is getting really nervous.
I'm somewhere between super excited and super worried. So
the problem is Letitia's not going to do any work anymore. She's going to be your new media roving reporter running
and
around the world.
That's crossed my mind, too. I may have lost my best partner ever.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. I'm still going to be here because I love strategies and I love making a difference in clients' lives. So I will always be here.
Well, imagine this. If I could hand Letitia a microphone, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And say, go talk to anybody. Who would you want to talk to, and what would you ask them? Really, I mean, wide open. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even have to just be financial. Who would you love to talk to, and what would you ask them? Think of that. Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot.
Yes. I'm going to put together a list.
Okay.
I would probably first start with Oprah.
Not
that
a bad
woman,
choice.
That woman has built an empire.
Not a bad choice.
And
yeah.
You laugh, but I'll bet Oprah, I mean, a couple of years ago, Obama shocked everybody when he went and did some podcasts. He did Mark Maron's show and a couple of those. And people are like, a podcast? It's like, yeah, because this is a whole new world of reaching people through that 3-inch smartphone we carry with them all the time. Howard Rosenberg did a piece in the LA Times a few years ago. He says, I give up. I'm supposed to be the TV critic. I don't know what a TV show is anymore. Is it my cat playing with a ball of a string? Because that gets more watches than the network shows do. Maybe that's a TV show.
But people want to be entertained. People want media. They want good coverage. And they want people that are educated to be able to go out there and find the right information for them, exactly what they need. And
exactly.
I feel like that'd be great for our clients and our listeners that we know some of the things that they're looking for.
And we're going to an educational conference, so, you know, there's going to be
bring the audience along. Bring the audience
so,
along.
So, no guarantees about next week's show, but there's a very good chance we'll either be live from somewhere, and or we will have some great recordings to send.
Well, I'll give you three choices. One is you can be live, and you can actually stream from these shows. That's always exciting. And people will gather and watch. It's amazing. You set up your microphone and your little song and dance, and all of a sudden there's an audience. It's crazy.
I love it.
And then the second one is you can walk around with a handheld and get capture stuff and bring those back, and we'll turn them into a show afterwards where you come back and comment, what did you see? And then we'll play some of them. You can react to that. You narrate with these examples who you met and what you saw. And then the third is, if you ever want to get really big at this thing, you can actually get a booth at these shows and do a whole full-blown, you know, radio broadcast from it.
I think I'd be tied down. I couldn't handle that. I want to go and meet people.
We need the roaming reporter.
Okay, all right. So any of those possible.
All right. So let's get down to some business. We were also talking off mic and discovered that we have something in common. Our kids have started school.
Or that's probably why we're a little more, like, a little frazzled, right? I can say that I'm a little frazzled. My son just started kindergarten, and it's been a crazy 2 weeks.
You know what I'm going to go. I'm going to go with this.
I'm ready.
So, Paul, you ready for a story?
Always ready for a story.
This is a good story.
Is this a long story? Should we flip a chair and get something warm to drink?
Maybe some popcorn.
But okay. I'm willing to say that probably not too many people have had this first day of school experience that Letitia had last week.
Oh, okay.
So
this is the first time your child, is it a boy or girl?
It's a son. It's a boy.
Boy, okay. It's a son.
Colin.
And has he gone to preschool or this is?
He has.
All right, so this is not like the first time out of your sight.
No. That's the best part about the whole thing, is he's gone to preschool for a very long time, a great Montessori locally, we're very happy with, but now he's going to traditional...
real-life school with real-life kids. And so, all right, and this is the story that leads up, because my grandson just started preschool for the first time this year, and that was traumatic enough, but... I'll tell you my quick story, and then you can tell yours. Many, many years ago, you know, I grew up in an era where they didn't have preschools and stuff. You got on a bus even to go to kindergarten out in suburbia. And so my mother and dad stayed home. My dad, they were all upset. I'm an only child. I'm going to cry. I'm going to bawl. I'm going to, you know, fight to get... I hopped on the bus so fast, never even looked back.
They said that, one of those.
I was one of those. I never looked back the rest of my life. My parents are crying at the curb, and I didn't even see them. So, your story.
All right, Letitia.
Well, here we go. I'm just going to give you this summary.
I'll fill in if I need to.
Yeah. He knows I really don't want to share this. And then I'm on the air, so which is even better. Yeah. But I do have to say it's been a very interesting week, and it has been building. So it's a new school, new things, new people, and I feel like he's just kind of testing the waters, especially with me and trying to figure out. I'm mom. I feel like mom's always that soft spot for that and trying to test the waters with me.
How so? What is he trying to, I don't want to go, or I want to get something out of it?
Yeah.
Or
great question.
That's part of the story.
Great question.
Here it goes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so we get in the car, and we're getting ready to go. This is our normal morning routine, and I like the kids to get ready, and we put the backpacks in the car, and then I have them get in the car, and they get their shoes, and they are putting their seatbelts on, and then I finish loading the car with all of our stuff for the day, and we get ready to go. So, my son decides I don't want to wear shoes today, so he throws his shoes out the door.
No shoes out the door.
On his way to school, first day of school.
And I said, okay, no problem. So normally I would pick it up and get it stop and get everything out of the car and bring it back in and say, okay, here's your shoes. Don't do it again. But for some reason that morning I was like, no. He needs to learn a lesson. I'm going to tell you at the end of the story.
Wait to hear this lesson.
I learned the lesson. So what did we do? Well, I decided to back up.
Well, before that, you said, hey, look, we're going to go to school without your shoes. You just tell your friends, I got no shoes today.
Yeah, you just have to explain to your friends why you are going to school without any shoes.
Yeah, they want to know. Yeah.
Right. Very calmly. So I put the car in reverse and I back up. Well, just as I'm backing up, my son decides to open the door.
Entering the garage.
He still wants his shoes.
Suddenly.
Right. Yeah. But I was going in reverse. So not only did my door hit the garage door, it
ripped off.
Over shoes.
Yeah.
Over shoes.
Yeah.
So my car has lost its door. I've broken the garage door.
So the door is physically off. It's like, or it's just broken.
Yeah, it just went backwards.
Hanging on a thread of a
hanger. Yeah, it's broken.
Still got to get to school. Door's off. No school. No shoes.
Yeah. So that's really the summary, and that's kind of been the challenging part of learning new things.
Because you know what you did wrong? You made him think of the consequences. First, he was just thinking of you. Yeah. I'm not going to wear my shoes. What are you going to do about that?
Right.
And then you said, but you are going to have to explain to them. And then he went, ooh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Consequences.
Yeah. So it was beautiful, I have to tell you.
I think I'm going to segue into your whole thing. I think clients are the same way. They must come to you sometimes and say, I don't want to buy that stock. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get this. I don't want to do it. And then you come and say, fine. Then you're just going to have to live with the consequences. And then
so
they go,
true.
Oh, yikes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Actually, that's pretty good, Paul.
Yeah, okay. That is very true. Yeah. It's very true.
So speaking of school, that was still one of my favorite stories. And I apologize again for making fun of you all day, the day you lost your door.
Or every day since.
I sent her a video that night from Tommy Boy.
Yeah, I remember the movie Tommy Boy. Yeah.
It was perfect.
He loses the door from the car.
and the upside, everybody's going to know, was he punished? Was there a bad consequence of this? Or did you just realize, no, he threw the door open because I made him think twice and... That's just my learning curve.
I love your, like, you took away all their stuff.
Yeah, so what I did is right afterwards, I actually stayed really calm, and I clearly turned off the car, and made sure he was okay, and I got out of the car, and I just walked in the house for a moment, and I just said, guys, I need you to get out of the car. Don't say another word. Stand over here. And I had to just breathe and just put it together, yes. Because reality is I wasn't going to get anywhere from yelling at them or being angry with them. But at the end of the day, my door was ripped off my car. So I had to do something. And literally, I called my husband. I told him he needs to come home. We have a situation. And I immediately reacted and took the kids to school. We fixed the garage door, pulled the car forward, and it ended up being okay. I was able to, you know, we have a backup car, so it was fine. As far as we came home. And we had dinner, and it was a very silent dinner.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we had a family meeting, and our family meeting, and we just calmly talked about, you know, asked them questions. Was this the right thing to do? And how are we going to do this differently? And then I told them, you know, as a result, we've lost all of our toys. And we packed all, and I had them help me pack up all the toys, and we put it in the garage. And we're in the process of earning toys back.
Wow.
But, you know, that's one of those things. You're a working mom, and you're trying to put it all together, but at the end of the day, you need to just make sure that your kids are taken care of, you're still making sure that they're safe, and you're putting together great values and teaching them lessons when it's appropriate.
And you know what I love? As now a grandparent, you took a moment. Too often, when I was younger with children, I didn't take a moment. You'd react in the moment. What?
Right.
You know, and you just sometimes got to learn, stop, everybody shut up. Mommy's or daddy's going to take a moment here. Don't say a word.
Yeah.
I think one of the ironic parts of the story is you took their toys away, and, you know, one would expect they're going to be sad and you know, have nothing to do. And instead, they're now playing with, like, milk cartons and cardboard boxes and having the time of their life.
Yes.
They're so happy. They're always laughing and giggling, and you're, like, trying to tell them, hey, calm down, you know, let's not be so rambunctious. They're just happy
kids.
We
don't want that toy back.
I know.
Well, that was my wife's always, you know, we're a little older than you guys, so I remember when our daughter was young, and we'd go shower with toys, and my wife would say, don't give her a toy, just give her a milk carton, and she'll be amused for an hour with it. I'm like, that seems cruel. I'm telling to the kids, I did it with my grandson. I bought him some fancy toy, and he was playing with the packaging, putting the cardboard box from the packaging on his head more than he was playing with the toy.
Yeah, yeah. I was packing up their toys, and they took their toy, their box, and they sat in it, and they started sliding down the stairs. I mean, it's just one of those things. I feel like I have active kids.
So there is actually a point to the story other than just pure entertainment.
Schadenfreude. Isn't that the word? Schadenfreude, where you take joy in others' misery.
Yes, right.
Schadenfreude. There's a word you
I'm taking so much joy in this, by the way.
She's not.
So anyway, back to school. And that reminded Letitia and I of kind of some similarities to going back to school and preparing for school that one would have in their adult life as well and preparing their finances.
Mm. Yeah.
So one, of course, is to do with when I went to school and when all my kids went to school, it was always like, okay, it's time to, it's kind of basically a spring cleaning. Let's get your room in order. Let's make sure you have a place to do homework. Let's go through your, you know, your wardrobe. We've got some new school clothes. Let's get rid of some of the older clothes. So that's kind of just a don't know, house cleaning, if you will.
Yeah. Take assessment. Take stock in what you got here. Right?
And that's something that we do. We should be doing as adults, especially with regards to your finances.
Yeah.
Is that, and we encourage that with our clients once a year. We update their financial plan, which means, hey, let's do an assessment of where you were at this year as far as income. What unusual has happened? Did you have a liquidity event, or did you have an inheritance, and or did you have lower, could be anything, lower income, higher income,
yeah,
but then to reassess and replan.
And I always say, I tell this to every client, around this time of year, you should be the person connecting with your accountant and your wealth manager and being able to figure out what is the best strategies that I need to implement between now and the end of the year. Don't wait till next year, so then maybe you're able to take advantages of some of the different changes and be, you know, the most effective you can be with your taxes.
Can I give you an observation that just struck me hard as Bart was telling that story?
Yeah.
When I was a boy, I had a place to do my homework, a desk, right? First thing we got her daughter started going to school, I got her a desk. And my wife's like, a desk? They don't do it. They do it on the couch. They do it. I said, no. You got to have a space and place to do homework. Otherwise, she's never going to do it seriously. She's do it while she's watching TV or doing something else. It's never going to happen. And I believe in that. I just suddenly realized I don't have a space or place to do my finances. I don't have a place in our house or a place in my business. I have it all scattered all over the place, and I do it like I'm not. I said you're not supposed to do homework. I do it half-assed, on the table, on the coffee table, somewhere when I'm forced to do any of this stuff. My taxes, my finances, anything. I don't have a place. Is that something? Am I alone, or should we be all having a place to do our homework?
I think that's based on preference, to be honest.
Didn't hit you. My insight didn't hit you.
I feel like, yeah, having a place to work and having a place that's focused and organized, I think that's absolutely important. But also at the same time, I feel like you don't necessarily need to be rigid with that either. And if you're somewhere, and now with technology, you can really be anywhere in the world and take care of business. So I don't necessarily feel like you have to have a desk anymore.
Personal preference.
Yeah.
I think what people are wired differently and require different things.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying is that you take it serious enough. In my office, as crazy as it seems, I have it set up a certain way. I suspect most people, I know that's hard to believe. There's logic to this chaos here. There is. There's method to the madness
here.
There's
a lot of stuff in here, guys.
But I find that when it comes to my finances, I'm never organized. It's just always sort of chaotic, thrown together.
And I have to tell you, there's something that everyone has their own style, and our job is not to change our client's style. Our job is to be able to provide tools and resources for them to be able to do what's best for them and their style. So for you, that might be perfect. But for example, we use a tool for planning, actually what Bart just said, and you can connect everything on there, all of your bank statements, all of your credit cards, all of your investment statements. You can enter your wills and your trust and maybe even your passport. There's a lot of different things, and different people in your life, like your accountant, your attorney, your advisor, your spouse, your kids can have access to this on an open access or limited access, really whatever you decide to give them. But at the end of the day, we try to provide this tool for our clients that is also at a level that's bank security. And we do a lot of our planning actually on this same program. And we do a lot of what if strategies with our clients to be able to help them kind of put it all together. But like what you just said, even for planning and tax planning, it's great to have this tool to be able to find everything all at one spot, and all the information kind of feed into it. So it's being able to kind of organize what that looks like for you. But you know, everyone has their own preference, like you said.
I'd love to see a tool like that, because I've never seen one. Is that a proprietary thing that you have, or is that something that I can go out and find on my own?
Yeah, it's not proprietary.
Yeah, and you can find it on your own, Paul, when you become our client.
That's the correct answer. That's the correct answer.
Yeah, you can email us with additional questions.
All right.
So, and, you know, to your point, as we talk about personal preference and organization, I would say a majority of our clients, one of whom have become basically financially independent either through saving for retirement and or selling a company and having some sort of a liquidation event and or maybe an inheritance. But they now are more they will tell us they're more busy now than they ever were when they were working, having no idea how they were ever able to work.
Right.
And so, like any good manager or executive or CEO, they delegate the duties. So most of our clients have a great team. You know, we're I consider us to be part of that team and working alongside their CPA, their attorney, so that...
And I think that's the norm. As you realize success, you just pass it off to others. But then the danger is... You know, we hear that people misuse it or make mistakes or whatever, all sorts of stuff. You lose knowledge of what that situation is.
Well, that's the great thing about using our program is you actually see every transaction. And so you can see where everything is real time. So
I love that. I got to see this thing.
It's great.
All right.
Yeah.
You do a whole show on that.
I think you should do a whole show. Because I think most people, when you go in with a new client and they start, I'll press it one more time here. I don't care how big and powerful and successful they are, and they have accountants and all these other people. When you say, lay it all out for me, can they just pull it out of a drawer or show you it on their laptop?
Yes. So it's literally...
Before they meet you. I'm saying, but after they meet you, I get it. But when you meet a new client, are they that organized?
No.
Yeah, there's...
Depends.
Depends. Everyone's different. Some are hyper organized. Some are, it takes us weeks, if not months, to get everything we need.
Yeah, everyone's different.
Yeah. Okay. I don't feel bad then being disorganized. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. Leticia, anything else you want to talk to as it relates to back to school and back to organization?
I think it's, some things are funny that I'm hearing in my son learn in his kindergarten class that I feel like we apply every day with our clients of, you know, planning, right? We talked about that planning and being aware of what's going on with your finances, using, you know, financial planning programs, that kind of thing. So it's a lot of simple things that you're learning when you're young that you're able to really use those tools all the way through your
How about life. Learning to play with others? Because you guys have to play with lots of different people that are already in their lives, their accountant, for example, and their lawyer.
Yep.
And maybe you don't like their lawyer. Or maybe you don't think the accountant's doing a good job. But you have to learn to play nice with them here.
Right.
And the other thing, now this takes a step away from finance, but just life in general, because my youngest now is in preschool or first year.
Last week as well.
Yeah, this first week.
Wow, so, see, lots of things happen.
So, and I have a great picture, and my comment on the picture was, one of us did really well as I was walking her into class.
Yes.
And that was, she did really well.
Yeah, she did really well. It was, I was your parent, Paul, and she was you.
Yeah, were you? Yeah, see, it's just, some people are like that, just can't let go, and oh my God.
But what I realized with the preschool, just some of the basics in life that we get away from, and again, I'm just not even just talking about finance anymore, but arriving to school on time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Showing respect to teachers and others.
Yeah.
Most important, multiple meals a day, snacks. This follows my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And a nap. Midday.
I want a nap.
I need a nap.
That would be amazing. So anyway, there's so much we can learn, I think, from just revisiting our time back at school.
And I trace some of my bad habits I've carried through with life because I didn't later on develop good study habits. I got away with stuff. And so that you think these things don't affect you the rest of your life. I think the lessons you're learning early on have a impact on who you are and how you live your life.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I know we only have a few moments left, and I know we have a mailbag.
Yeah. Pick one. What jumped out of your mailbag today?
Yeah, here's one, and I'll just send this over to Leticia to start this one. How you like that? Here's one, Leticia. I like this one. And I don't know who sent it, but it says, I always get confused about the difference between an IRA and a Roth IRA. What's the difference?
Go ahead, Bart.
Well, I'm Irish, so one of them's the Irish Republican Army. I don't know what that is. No, but that's probably not. I have no clue what those two are. I hear them all the time.
What?
Okay. So are you going to defer?
Yeah, I'm going to defer. I'm going to go to the next part to that.
Look at you. Okay. So so first of all, IRA, individual retirement account.
Oh, okay.
So for those who do not have the benefit of either a company sponsored plan like a 401k, and want the ability to deduct some money and put in a retirement plan, you have the ability to use an IRA. The limits are much lower. It's $5,500 this year.
You can put into it?
Yeah. Yes.
And then tax-free.
And then if you're over 50...
Or tax-deferred, rather.
Tax-deferred and tax-deductible. Right. So, and what's the difference, Paul, between tax deferred and tax deductible?
I would think deferred means you still got to pay it some way. Deductible, I can't imagine. I can't believe that you can put it in and then deduct it off your taxes.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So if you make $100,000 and you put $5,000 into an IRA, so you're taxed on $95,000.
Wow.
Very simple scenario. And the deferred, for those of us, I think I've said this on the air before, and you may or may not remember. So remember Popeye, the cartoon?
Yeah, that's right.
I remember.
And then remember Wimpy?
Yes.
He loved his hamburgers. And he said, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah.
So that's what I call tax deferral. I'll pay you later.
So it's a wimpy way to look at taxes.
It's a wimpy syndrome, I call it. So anyway, that's an IRA. They're great planning tools. A Roth IRA has the tax deferral. So that's the same. Check. No tax deduction going in. So it might look like on the outset to be a negative. Actually, is a positive because the Roth IRA on the money's coming out is all tax-free.
Okay, so let me summarize this for you so everyone understands the difference.
Yeah.
A traditional IRA, you get the tax deduction the year that you make the contribution.
Mm-hmm.
You pay the taxes when you pull the money out after you're at least 59 and a half.
Correct.
Well, and then a Roth IRA, you pay the taxes the year that you put money into the account. It grows over time. And then you don't pay the taxes again when you take the money out.
Exactly.
So here's the part that I wanted to add to that, Bart, is I feel like a lot of people have this big question mark. They don't know when they should choose a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA.
I wouldn't have a clue. Wouldn't have a clue.
So I always say it depends. It depends on how much do you really need the tax deduction. If you don't need the tax deduction and you have time before you start pulling money out of that account, then you want to go with a Roth IRA. Because then that way, it doesn't matter on the taxes. Maybe your tax bracket is low. And then later on, you can have that continue to grow. And then when you start pulling that money out, it's tax-free.
I'm wondering if you could take us to school and do a future episode about this and give us some examples of real life examples when one works and when doesn't, because I sort of get it. And it seems like another tool you could use, but I don't know how to use most tools in my toolbox.
Maybe we'll do that. Actually, we have on one of our upcoming shows. We'll give scenarios and examples and show the benefits.
You can tell me it, but show it to me and I'll remember it. Give me an example. I'll remember it better.
Okay.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we're running out of time here.
We have so many more questions, so we'll save those for next time. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today. I'm wondering if I should ask you a final thought question again.
I think you should, because I need to cue up the music, so I need another moment.
All right. So, Letitia, it's been quite a while, and other than making sure your son doesn't open the door when you're backing up in the garage, Give me an ultimate lesson learned over your career.
That should be it. Planning. I'm going to say that over and over again. Great planning. But more than anything, having people in your life that you are inspired by, that you can aspire to, and really having like that mentorship in your life that you feel like you can ask people questions and then continue to grow and develop. I feel like that is one of my ultimate lessons learned, because I don't want to stay stagnant in my life. I want to be able to continue to grow and develop and surround myself around people that encourage me and motivate me and inspire me.
That's great. That's awesome. I feel the same way. All right. Thanks so much.
Don't forget to tell them where they can find our podcast.
I am getting there.
Just watching you two is a show.
It's every day. This is every day.
So what I was going to say was thanks, everyone, to tuning in. And if you want to learn more about us, you can reach Letitia or I at our website, www.optivestinc.com. You can email us at podcast@bartzandbergen.com. And yes, that is spelled bartzandbergen.com. And don't forget, we're on. Where are we all on, Paul?
Everywhere. iHeart, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You're all over the place.
And Letitia, what should everybody do?
They need to download our podcast. They need to like our podcast. And actually, actually give us some feedback, maybe not mean, criticism is okay, but things you might want to hear, and share it with someone else, because we're here for you, and we're taking time out of our day to be able to provide this for you guys, and so we really want to know what's important to you guys, and we continue to learn and develop on every single one of these shows, so we appreciate it for your feedback.
Yep, agreed. Okay, thanks again, everyone, for being here. I look forward to seeing you back in the studio soon, maybe remotely next week. Cheers.
Yay!
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.